Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Pumapunku is a monumental structure complex that sits high above the Andes Plateau. Constructed sometime during the 5th or 6th century AD, large slabs that form gateways and curiously cut stones are all that remain of this once wondrous construction. Local legends from the native people of Bolivia still revere Pumapunku as the place where the world began. Another legend, held by the native Shuar people of Ecuador, places the birthplace of humanity within a system of caves set within the Andes Mountains. Since the 1960s, explorers of these caves have reported finding treasure troves of gold and mysterious artifacts within the extensive system of caverns. In 1976, a well-provisioned and well-staffed expedition set out to locate the source of these reports. Their primary concern was a set of metal plaques and sheets said to be among the treasures that may have had printed on them the history of a previously unknown advanced civilization. This case file joined the theorists for this month's Ron Pond fan pick as they search for the lost Metallica recordings within the Taos Caves and the Metal Library.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 245, Taos Caves and the Metal Library.
Fuck yeah.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
According to my garage.
I don't even know how... first off...
He's been kicked out of the house.
I told Andrew that when we start the show from now on, he should be mid-set, drop the weights to then walk in and say, I'm Andrew.
Why are you spoiling it? I was going to wait until Dan goes on a rant and just start fucking lifting while he's done. That was my goal.
Just shrugs.
Yeah, and people asking why in the chat. It's because Andrew's been kicked out of the house. He lives in the garage now.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
He lives at Muscle Garage.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Mongoose house.
It was an intentional move, though.
It's the mongoose house of muscle.
Can't stop lifting.
You know what you should do? It's too bad. You should move your camera a little bit so that boxing bag's a little more in. You could put a picture of Dan on it. Mm. And then you just go in and you're just, mid-show.
Word bubble in there. I hate true crime. Hate this, buddy.
How's that left taste? I don't even know how I'm going to focus now that Dan's told us that they may have solved male pattern baldness. I mean, you're going to drop that news on us 2 seconds before we record? Are you kidding me?
Everybody pumped. It's too late for us.
All right,
it's too late. The ship sailed, boys. Can't do anything.
Here's the thing, though. Here's a real question. And this is what I was thinking of. Dan literally dropped this on us two minutes ago. That they, whatever, may have isolated some protein that causes it, whatever Dan said in his smart Dan language. But here's my question, right? So say we're 10 years out from a cure, all right? How weird would it be to just go from bald to full head of hair? And is it going to be like those like cochlear implants where it's like the deaf community is like, you're killing our culture? Like all is the bald community going to be like, hey, you're killing our culture. The bald man, right?
Well, there are going to be those rebels that just hold on, embrace the chrome dome.
They're like, I don't give a shit. I will tell you this.
Buddy, I'd be waiting in line like a fucking iPhone.
Oh yeah.
All right. Absolutely.
Like having hair is awesome. And the number one reason now that I'm losing it is because my head gets so burnt if I don't wear a hat.
What?
You used to have like
it
a big-
It burns your hair follicles.
No, it burns my scalp.
Yeah, that's the number one reason you want hair.
That's why you want hair. So I don't have to, because when you have a nice thick head of hair, you can go outside and you don't, your head's fine. Now,
it's just
burned to crisp.
It's either that or you could be fucking, you know, a biracial angel like me and Dan.
Well, no, or you could just head over to crowdmade.com/alientheoriestheorize and buy yourself an ATT hat.
Melanin.
Cover that potato head up.
I could. Do I get a discount if we buy our own merch?
Yes.
Okay, probably perfect. Not.
No.
Brain no, skimming a little off the top of it.
Brain skims.
I get a discount.
Anyways, now you guys. We'll come back to the cure for male pattern baldness, I'm sure, in the near future, because we'll be paying close attention.
We're on it.
We are beating the odds on the show.
I don't want to get back into it, but there is a cure for male pattern baldness. Has been for a while. I'll just throw that out there. Comes with some consequences, but there is one. Anyways.
You're talking about pills?
Yeah, Propecia. Stops conversion to DHT.
Yeah, but so you're going to save your hair. It's like a cure, though. It's just kind of like a treatment.
It delays the inevitable.
It stops it.
It doesn't regrow, though.
But you have to keep taking that.
Yes, it does.
If you completely lost your hair on the front, it'll regrow? No,
if you start taking it while you're thinning,
right.
While you're losing, you will regrow hair in those areas. It's not good
for you,
though.
You have to keep taking it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you take it for the rest of your life. That's awful for you.
Listen, I'm waiting for my shot where they just give me an injection and then I just, the next morning I see little sprouts. Right? Like a chia pet. Yeah.
Wake up with a full afro, just
You can't just you can't choose what hair you regrow though. It's just random.
Oh no.
So you get just any beard. Color, any type.
Yeah. Oh, just any type of hair.
I would have just like bone straight hair.
Does it get slick down to your scalp?
Just get up in the morning and you're like, oh yeah, I feel like I had you the hair whip. Wow.
Oh, is that kill for hair? Like that got fucking Brillo pad hair.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
All right. We'll come back to hair loss and after hours.
Cut it.
Hair loss and after hours.
Cut that.
All our baldies out there. Continue on with the chat.
We'll tell you where you can get it. You can get it for order now, alientheorist.com. We'll send you a tube of hair growth formula. You just water that scalp a little bit. six to 10 years, you'll see some growth.
Guaranteed. Anyways, we're heading down to the Taos. Is it Taos cave system?
Taos. Las Cuevas de los Taos.
Boom.
Sounds delicious.
Does sound like a pretty tasty dish. But it is actually a system of caves that are set within the eastern side of the Andes Mountains within the Morona Santiago province of Ecuador. So now, according to explorers who are familiar with these caves, it's estimated that maybe about one third of the actual total system has been mapped. So that's totaling about 3 to 4 miles is what they're saying from the one documentary I was watching. That was probably like 2015, 2018 maybe. And I think they've mapped just a little bit, like probably around like 5 miles, like up to now of this place. The people that live in the area are natives. The native Shuar people have known about these caves since before references have like actually appeared.
It stacks up pretty big because I thought the biggest cave in the world was isn't that the one in Vietnam that's like 6 miles?
Right. Well, so that's like saying, 6 miles down. Yeah.
Yes.
Or whatever. Down.
There's what's the mammoth cave system?
Mammoth caves are huge.
Hundreds of miles of caves.
Right. One really knows how long the Taos quit. They've not been fully explored.
You know what? And they should stop pretty soon meddling down there. Because if you ever seen the movie The Descent, this is what I'm picturing.
That's what happens. That could have happened already.
Or it could be even worse. You could run into Mole Man.
Is that Mole Man's? Yes.
Mole Man. Hollow Earthers.
Yeah. Reptile people sitting down there. Insect people.
The protectors of the metal library.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But these caves have been around, and they've been known to humans at least, like since before written history. But the first time that they showed up in written reference was probably around 1860. So the native Shuar people used to actually, and they still do, I believe, is that they every spring they have a type of ceremony or some kind of ritual. A tradition where they go down into these caves, and these caves are actually inhabited by this type of bird, which I think is actually kind of unique to the area. It's called an oil bird. And they go down there and they collect the fledglings of the birds, like the really young birds, because apparently they get really fat.
And that's when they start where fledging. Shawarma was invented.
I don't think so, but.
You're telling me the Shuar people didn't make shawarma?
No.
What the fuck was that?
What was that?
That was interesting.
Imagine you're down in the cave and you hear this noise.
Well, I can't fucking hear anything.
Sounds
now.
Like somebody skateboarding. Yeah. I was like, oh, there's a sick half pipe down
here. I thought you were watching some NATSN highlights.
No, that's the sound of the oil bird.
What?
The oil bird.
So you're in the...
So they do... Interesting thing about it is they actually navigate by echolocation. They're one of the few birds that actually do that.
It's like and bats.
Exactly like bats. But they have a certain clicking sound that they...
That didn't sound very clicky.
Yeah. That didn't, probably.
That sounded like they're just going, ah!
That sounds like they're giving the goalie a fucking face wash there. That's exactly what that sounded like.
Yeah.
That's what they sound like. It sounds like a terrible... terrible noise. Yeah. It doesn't, I guess if that's the echolocation, it's not like a sonar sound. It's like a murder sound.
Bunch of them in a group. Yeah. They are strange. They are weird looking birds. I guess they're related to night jars. They are nocturnal. They can fly around, eat bugs and do bird stuff. Bats. But so they live alongside bats. And so these caves, you probably would have never anybody probably would have never heard about these caves until in 1973, everybody's favorite ancient alien theorist, granddaddy Eric von Daniken, published a book called Gold of the Gods.
And is he your favorite ancient alien theorist?
Yes.
I noticed you said everybody.
Yes.
But off the top of my head,
I've met him twice. I've met him twice.
You met his skin suit once in an elevator.
Seen him collapse in an elevator once, pretty much.
I thought he was going to die.
And then we had the pleasure of interviewing him and other theorists on the Theorists in the Desert panel, where he proceeded to get quite angry at a couple of questions which we asked.
He's a pretty cranky dude at this point, yeah. And maybe for good reason. We're not sure. So Gold of the Gods was actually the sequel to probably the most well-known of his books, the Chariots of the Gods, which kind of kicked off the whole popular ancient alien thing back in the 70s. And so the book actually it contains a number of narratives of Eric von Daniken pretty much traveling the world, investigating, you know, ancient sites, talking to people who kind of have the same views as he does. But it begins with a von Daniken's trip accompanying an Argentinian-Hungarian entrepreneur named Juan Moritz on an expedition to the Taos Caves. Now, Juan Moritz, he had actually obtained a legal deed, which does still exist in the archives of Ecuador, I believe, like in the town of Cuenca, that put him as the discoverer of these caves in 1969.
I love that. He's the discoverer of these caves that have been mentioned for 100 years. He's like, I found them.
I have the deed.
Yeah, but
it still exists. Yeah.
Yeah, but didn't it like his uncle told him about these caves on his deathbed? So wouldn't that make his uncle the founder of these caves?
Well, not the legal.
Forget my uncle. I have the deed.
His uncle doesn't have it in writing. Yeah. as Juan Moritz
because he is dead.
Yeah. So now Moritz on this paper. All right, he is claiming, he has these claims, and these are actual quotes from the paper.
Now, is this paper written in crayon?
It's written in Spanish, I assume, but okay. These are translations of it. And it's not written in crown. It's like, it's official, sealed, notarized,
feather and
everything.
Ink. It feather exists. And ink is what it was written in.
Quill.
Quill, sorry.
I have discovered objects of great cultural and historical value to mankind in the province of Morona, Santiago, within the boundaries of the Republic of Ecuador. The objects consist mainly of metal plaques inscribed with what is probably a resume of the history of a lost civilization. The probably. Very existence,
probably.
Which was unsuspected by mankind hitherto. The objects are distributed among various caves and are of many different kinds.
Dope.
So he goes on to mention about the types of objects that they were found in there. So the objects he found included stuff like these stone and metal objects of various sizes and colors, as well as probably the most interesting part and why we get the metal library part of the podcast title is he found these metal plaques that seem to be engraved with signs and writings.
What about the lasers?
Well, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to the lasers. Right.
Just checking.
So foreshadowing.
So having this actual legal document, this is what I guess impressed Von Daniken so much. And he had heard about these caves and he had went down there to investigate for his, you know, his follow-up book, Gold of the Gods. He needed something pretty big. So he, you know, and he went down there and he met with, he got in touch with Moritz and apparently they set up a whole expedition between, I believe it's almost like in the book, it just sounds like it's just the two of them. It's just the two of them and, going down there
in a Land Rover.
And some of the things that I like read, the understanding that I kind of had of this situation was that perhaps Juan had like approached the government and been like, listen, I found this. And they're like, all right, well, we will allow you to have this deed and we'll allow you to do an exhibition, but you need to like get another person to go with you and we need some proof of it and then we'll okay it. Like that's a go ahead. So he approached Von Daniken at that point. And Von Daniken's like, hell yeah. Oh, you speak
money,
my language.
Money.
Yeah.
There were some people even claiming Von Daniken didn't actually go on the expedition. And that he just...
Well, I mean, look at him.
I mean, he was young back then. He was in his prime, man. He was in prime alien theorizing, ancient alien theorizing mode. Like,
I mean, there are some inconsistencies, like the way they traveled to this cave. But doesn't really line up. But
so, yes. So in the book, Von Daniken describes them taking a 24-hour drive in a Toyota Land Rover. Land Rover, driving up to these caves. Now, to get to these caves, most people, subsequent expeditions to these caves, it seems a bit difficult to get to these caves. Like, it's not, there's no roads that go directly to these caves. It's pretty much like you have to take, well, you can drive, you have to drive for a while, and then you have to take a boat, and then you have to take, or at least take like a day long trek. Or maybe a 2-day long trek.
We're going to get to the next. We're going to get to a more modern one. But what they said in the modern one is you have to gain permission to enter like the native people's lands.
Right.
You need a guide. The guide takes you into the village. You stay there first. And from there, they lead you through the jungle, which if you didn't have a guide, you would never be able to find the entrance to the caves because they're so overgrown.
Get eaten by fucking jaguars.
Hey, we're talking about Aaron. Eric Jean-Claude Van Daniken.
Bon Jovi Van.
No, it's Eric Jean-Claude Van Daniken.
Right there.
Yeah,
right?
DVD.
We got him on the live stream right now.
Yeah, like that guy doesn't fucking... Boys, anything gets in his way, fucking does a split, bicycle kick.
That is not an edited photo. He looks like... The only expedition he looks like is to Sodium Buffet.
I mean, I literally see zero difference between you and him, so that's fine. All right, that's
Braden with the meat sweats.
I didn't even know Braden left. I mean, maybe he's got a little bit of a thicker hairline. Is that what we're going with?
Yes, the native Shuar people do have control over that area. It's like in order to get to that area, you are supposed to get permission.
But it's crazy because how would they know about it if Juan discovered them?
Well, Moritz,
he told the native people about it.
He just put it on paper. Like, I just said he put it on paper. But apparently Juan Moritz was known to the Shuar people. I think he had an in with them and he was kind of like, okay, like they're fine with him going in because I think he mentioned on more than one occasion during him and Von Daniken's joint venture that's like, the Shuar people, are very secretive about the caves, and they won't let certain people in, and they won't like let people take things out.
Yeah,
of it.
But if you bring them a couple packs of darts, they'll let you right in.
This is not a big deal. That's a maybe. Yeah. So now Vonnegut describes descending into the caves of Moritz and exploring passages and chambers that to him seem artificial in their construction. And he describes talking about these types of structures within a stone actually cut and seem to be bored in and cut at 90 degree angles. And, you know, that this was either the result of some type of high technology civilization, that there's no way that people could do this with hand axes or with the tools that would be available to people at that time.
And we've seen these kind of like, you know, in other ancient sites, these perfect 90 degrees, you know, stones as close as credit cards. So it's like, it's not like, if that's there, it's not like this is unheard of from other, you know, mysterious places of how they would have done this. So it doesn't, to me, like when this claim, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Why not?
The claim is not it's construct, not like, it's not like a megalith. It's like a carved, they say a carved.
So kind of like Baalbek then, right? Because didn't have that one stone was perfectly carved.
Yeah, but that looks cut like a block about to be stacked, in where this cave, this looks like someone had carved the cave into the land.
Not, passages.
Yeah. Like perfectly.
Like hard belly. Yeah. Nice perfect square.
Minecraft
passage.
Style.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
On their expedition, some of the artifacts that Von Daniken claimed to have seen included a skeleton covered in gold dust. Like he describes talking about a skeleton, a human skeleton, that was completely covered in some type of gold dust. Like
Did it have a feather boa lipstick on? And, yeah.
And another thing that he said that probably one of the most impressive pieces was this. There was a table, a pretty sizable table with seven chairs made of some sort of plastic-like material that he said felt as hard and heavy as steel. But
they each have individual names on them, like Sleepy and Dopey. And
but there were statues set behind these chairs, is what Von Daniken describes. And these statues were actually made from some type of solid metal, and each one was shaped into to resemble animals of different types. And he described shapes such as saurians, elephants, lions, crocodiles, jaguars, camels, bears, monkeys, bison, wolves.
So elaborate stone carvings or metals.
Interesting that there'd be elephants there, right? Like that's wild that there'd be an elephant, because how would they have any fucking clue?
And he talks about, he says saurians, and he's talking about actual like dinosaurs, like a type of dinosaur that he talks about some of these, the carvings and some of these plaques that they find. They find these pictures of what looks like a dragon.
Maybe it's a dragon.
Yeah, it's a metal library, so it should be a dragon.
It should be.
That's what you would find at a metal library, is a dragon.
Absolutely.
And trolls.
Like if you search like dinosaur carvings, there's like carvings around the planet that seem to resemble like stegosauruses and like weird creatures that you're like, how do these people even know this existed? And some people are like,
the Christians have been right this whole time. Is that what you're telling me?
Quite possibly. The Earth 6,000 years old. The dinosaurs are not that long extinct.
I thought the Christians say that the devil put the fossils there to fool us.
Well, it depends which Christians you're talking to.
There's a bunch of different types.
There's a lot of different versions.
Now,
my Christianity is where Jesus is a white bread American. So what is that?
Like I'm looking at one right now. It's at Angkor Wat. It looks like a stegosaurus.
Oh, that one? Yeah. I don't know if we talked about that one before.
We haven't done Angkor Wat yet, but that would be a great one to talk about. But yeah, this is just some artist's rendition who there's like, no, it'd be cool, this type of animal. And they made it up, carved it. Or they knew about fossils way before that we...
Maybe they found fossils, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you think about it too, because they probably wouldn't be that deep down either. It would be a lot easier to find, you would think, right? Back then.
Well, it's not that... Well, I mean, it's not that... I mean, the geological time scale.
It'd be the same amount. It's not like there's been that much sediment from these humans.
If we're talking 65 million years plus, and it's only been like a couple thousand years, I mean, it's not that long, but...
Well, I admit,
Hey, it would be easier. Maybe not a lot easier, but a little easier.
Yeah, yeah, right? A little easier. Come on.
You didn't specify. No, technically, yes.
I'll get on your side on this. Is not all fossils are that buried. Like, they can be uncovered through like deglaciation or like giant floods or like a whole bunch of stuff that could like uncover fossils. So
easier.
Easier.
So easier. That's what I'm saying. That's my case. Easier. I'll take the point. And so we get to the title, you know, to the title for this discovery as the metal library. And so Moritz said he discovered in here, and he showed to Daniken, like in this huge room that they had.
He found the unreleased Metallica with Dave Mustaine, the whole Kill 'Em All album.
He found the
Iron Maiden album full with Paul Di'Anno. Like, he found the good stuff, the stuff we've all been looking for, right?
It might have been somewhere in the
back, unreleased Dio, right? Yeah.
They talked about there was huge stacks of gold and stuff. So those could have been somewhere.
Gold records, maybe.
Yeah. 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 But besides those, the ones that made the biggest impression were these metal plaques, as well as millimeter thick leaves of metal. Now, each one of these, the plaques actually measured about 3 feet to 2 inches by 1 foot to 7 inches. And then each one of the leaves of this metal apparently had writing that had seemed to be stamped on it as if by machine. And then... Von Daniken said this is like a huge amount. Like there's just all of these. And he asked Moritz like how many there are. And Moritz said he hadn't counted, but he estimated that somewhere there are around 2,000 to 3,000 pages held within this metal library, pages of this metal material stamped with some type of writing or symbols contained within that room.
Dude, so it's basically like some sort of like Library of Alexandria of like basically the... you know, everything carved into these metal plates, which would be more impressive than that, because obviously they would have the foresight of like, hey, we need to put this on something that won't be easily destroyed and place it somewhere where, you know, they're not easily going to be found or wrecked or damaged by weather.
Now, did they not say not even carved, but like almost like...
Pressed.
Pressed, like stamped down as if by like a machine.
Some type of machine, yeah.
All right. Now, I assume that Eric Von Daniken didn't bring any rubbing materials. Like, you know how people do like graveyard, like do like gravestone rubbings and stuff like that. He didn't bring any of that because he had a camera.
Fucking Indiana Jones, bud. It's the first time I saw him.
He had a camera, bud.
Last Crusade.
He had a camera and he was going to take pictures. He had intended to bring to get photographic evidence of this thing. But Moritz discouraged him on several occasions, according to Daniken, of taking pictures because he believed that the flash from the camera would damage.
Stop. This is going to legitimize everything. We can't do this. All right.
Well,
we can't do that.
Well, he believed that the flash would damage these metal plates in some way.
Everybody knows that metal is highly susceptible.
Well,
to
no, he showed Von Daniken this picture of himself. He said, "Look what it did to you." Right? It's going to burn those plates.
Reverse camera flash. Is that what that is?
Right. And Moritz also did mention something about there being some type of radiation within those caves that like messed with compasses and also and probably
Jean-Claude
would have made
Van Daniken's face. That's why he's burnt. Radiation.
And it also said that the radiation would probably make the negatives in the camera unusable. You wouldn't be able to see anything. Just would have ruined them.
I would have been like, well, let's give it a shot.
Absolutely. It sounds like... Jean-Claude Van Damme again's just fucking trying to, you know, make excuses for not taking pictures.
Now, after this kind of this published and came out in Gold of the Gods by Eric Von Daniken, like this kind of whole thing came out. That's like, this was something that you could tangibly take. Now, I remember like his first book, Chariots of the God, he talks about a lot of different places, the Nazca Lines. He talks about maybe like Angkor Wat. He talks about other mysterious places and these places that have been studied and seen and, you know, you can actually go there. But the Taos Caves, this is the first time these had ever really been mentioned in this context and brought up about having some type of artifacts in here from a hitherto unknown civilization to be actually seen and, you know, interacted with. So as you could imagine, this made a pretty big splash within the kind of new age, you know, 70s movement that was already kind of, you know, in full swing. And people picked up on this and said, we need to go there and we need to see this.
And one of those person, one of those people was Stan Hall of Scotland, who is a veteran explorer of some type. And a pretty famous guy, apparently had a pretty big pull with the British government at the time, because he put together a joint expedition of both British and Ecuadorian military personnel with the goal of investigating, specifically the goal of investigating the claims by Eric von Daniken. Like Stan Hall was very much a believer. He thought they were going to go and find and validate the discoveries made by Maritz and von Daniken.
Not only just validate the claims, but also like map out an undiscovered cave.
Right. As go to this cave, but he specifically says, like, we're going to go there to find these plates. We're going to find these things.
And we're going to figure out the knowledge.
Treasure, boys.
And yeah. it took almost a year for this expedition to get the funding, the logistics, and everything. And I just want to put that as a little disclaimer, because I'm going to come back to something after we discuss it.
And so on this expedition, you had about 60 participants, which included a number of scientists with specialists in various fields, such as archaeology, biology. You had 8 experienced British cavers that went along and were going to be actually tasked with exploring and mapping this cave system that they were going to go into, whether or not they found, you know, the secondary objective besides finding the these plates.
But this expedition's missing one thing.
So a very special, the most special
expert out there.
We need a goddamn American hero.
God damn it, Jim! We need an astronaut.
They're like, God damn it, Jim. I got a report. The team's all together. Like, the team's not. The press will never eat this up. We need a leader. We need someone the press can grab onto. We need a goddamn red-blooded American to lead this thing.
God damn it, Jenny's been to the moon. He can go in a cave.
And yes, if you haven't guessed it already, with such a sizable undertaking as this, it was intended to make history by upending it, by basically turning everything on its head. And, you know, this is going to be something really huge that they expected to find. They could only find one man, or they could only think of
one man. There's only one man for the job.
One man for the job. Neil Armstrong.
Neil fucking Armstrong.
First man on the moon. I'm not fucking joking. This is fucking nuts.
Obviously, boys, disclaimer. Obviously, Lance Kincaid was busy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. He's tied up. He's in divorce court.
They landed in Ecuador, and he looked at the team and he goes, this is one small step for me. And they're like, oh, okay, get over it.
The crowd goes wild.
It's just fucking wild, though. This is a handful of years.
Say the line, Neil.
It's only a handful of years after the moonwalk.
Yeah, he had just been to the fucking moon.
So what's a fucking cave, boys?
So what's no a biggie. Cave?
What the fuck does he know about caves?
How much do they pay him?
He's been to the moon.
Doesn't matter. I don't know.
How much do they pay him?
Listen, he's fucking Vince Vaughn from Lost World, you know, where he's pretending to be this guy, but the shit's the van. He's like, I am the backup. Pulls out an M16, ready to kick some fucking ass.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I read this. I was like, oh yeah, they're going to get the CIA shill himself, Neil Armstrong, to help them fucking confiscate these plates, just like he helped them hoax that moon landing. Right? He's a plant, right? He's a CIA plant, obviously, on this team.
Double agent.
And he's there to sabotage. He's a saboteur.
They're at least probably paying him enough to supplement him for his job, because he had been at the time, he was a professor of aerospace engineering at the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah, everything you need for caving.
Well, it's Eric von Daniken, the father of the ancient astronaut theory. They're thinking, we're going to bring in this expert in aviation and space travel, just in case they find an alien craft.
Oh, dude, I never thought about
that.
That's
what it is.
If he maybe, because you know they say some people think they saw something on the moon. Maybe
got a bogey. We got a Santa Claus.
Maybe
they're metal tablets on the moon, boys.
Or that's what they're thinking, is that they're like, hey, you know what? Like this description that they're giving us is not unlike some of the descriptions you were giving us of the shit you saw on the moon.
Come on,
so we're going to get you on the next flight to Ecuador. We need you there to tell us yay or nay if these are the exact same things
Holy
you saw
fuck,
on the moon.
Boys. Neil Armstrong Boys, Neil Armstrong's the real Indiana Jones.
Yeah. No, he's the real Forrest Gump.
No, he's teaching aerospace engineering. He's got girls with the I love you written on their eyelids, and he's getting phone calls. He's got to leave fucking class in the middle of his lecture.
So to ruggedly go to handsome Ecuador. Dude.
I mean, yeah,
dude.
Neil got a hell of a right hand, too. All he needs is a fucking hat and a fucking whip.
Yeah, he could have gone pro, I heard.
Well, and they flew him down to the city of Quito to take the role as honorary president of the expedition and put him on there.
Okay. You know, he was just fucking wasted the whole time. They're like, you know, we have to ask Neil first. He's the honorary president. They're like, God damn it. Bust open his tent. He's fucking wasted on whiskey.
It's still pretty cool to watch. They did film a lot of the expedition and a lot of from the film there. They put together a documentary like back then. It's on YouTube. Like, you can look it up. And it's kind of cool to go back and watch that. And it's just I think it's really cool. Like, the scenes like with Neil Armstrong, like coming off the plane, like there's a huge crowd of people seeing him. It's like, dude, he's a rock guy star, man. Dude who's been to the moon. You know, it's really kind of cool that even people in Ecuador, it's like a lot of them probably didn't even speak English, but they knew who he was, and like showing, like turning up and seeing him, like, you know, eating at restaurants or like meeting dignitaries and stuff. It's pretty neat. It's kind of cool.
It's gotta be the same thing. Like when you see fucking Buzz Lightyear in Disneyland, big deal. Yeah. Gotta get a picture with him.
Exactly
right?
The same.
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big deal. To infinity and beyond.
Just before we continue with the expedition, my beer is empty. So we'll take a quick break, grab a beer. And we'll come back. Neil Armstrong in the cave system.
God damn.
Neil,
hey, spell Neil hero. Backwards. Ooh. Or Lian? Neil.
What?
Lian?
What's the joke? What's the joke you're setting up here?
No. Neil, they say Neil A, capital A, and then you spell backwards.
Oh, alien. Oh, I get you. Okay.
Spell Neil backwards, Lian.
Lian.
Is that Lian?
It's okay.
All right.
We cracked it.
Fell flat. We'll be right back.
Look, are you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
We're back. So you've got the moon man himself, Neil fucking Armstrong, signed on to go explore and find these caves that contain the unwritten history, or the, I don't know, unwritten history, undiscovered history of some type of advanced civilization. That it, all they're going off of is Von Daniken's book.
A civilization that took shelter upon the Younger Dryas impact, the fucking comet that hit the ice caps back, what was it, 12,800 years ago. This civilization took refuge in these caves and died inside the caves.
What we're talking about here, that they're like, they're going to explore because they want to rewrite history because this is a, you know, a civilization that predates everything. I'm like, yes, then, like, if what they're saying then in 1973 is like, it's like, or 1969, whenever they found it's like, this would be crazy. But like, now if they came out and said that same thing, it'd be like, well, we have Göbekli Tepe. So is it around that time? Like, we have civilizations that are earlier and earlier and earlier that we know nothing about yet. So this wouldn't, I think not as many people would be surprised if this kind of information came out today. I don't think there'd be, what are you doing, Andrew?
Just grabbing a spider.
I thought you were like, I thought you were doing some sort of code, you're like casting a little violin or casting a spell or doing a little violin or something.
Yeah. No, fucking spiders. Charlotte's coming down, making her web.
Dude, you're going to wake up one day and there's going to be a spider nest inside your computer.
Yeah, that's the way of the road, boys. It's part of fucking doing a pod in the garage.
It's friends with the spiders.
I'm one with the spiders.
Yeah, I must become one with them.
Listen, the truth is I figure this is my best bet on becoming fucking the next Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing it.
Just blast your whole garage with crazy radiation now. Change some uranium off of Amazon.com.
How do you think his computer's powered?
Absolutely.
So this 60-person expedition traveled along a river near the caves, which led to the caves, and they were following Van Daniken's map, which he'd actually drawn in his book, indicating where the caves were. So they had to take They had to take boats to get there. They make no mention of a road running directly to this place, but they were saying it was rainy season, so there was some flooding.
Increased
so
flooding.
The easiest way to get there was to get by river, to go by boat. So they took their boats up there, and then they trekked through the mountains. They've got a lot of great footage of them just like schlepping, I don't know, generators.
A lot of B-roll of... walking.
That's the Fellowship of the Ring, just trucking over the ridges.
Well, they were
ridges.
Hauling some stuff up those mountains. Like, that was, yeah.
Well, they ended up hiring, like, helicopters to fly in, like, supplies and stuff because they were there for a while.
Which also made me question if, because, like, when I read that, it was like they were trekking and they had helicopters resupply them as they were trekking. I'm like, wouldn't it have been easier just to get the helicopter to fly you out and drop you off?
Well,
Mr. Moon Man. Did you not think of that?
No, in their defense, though, they had to follow the tellings of the book, which gave them an overland route. So they weren't exactly sure where they're going.
Yeah.
So they did set up a camp with the help of helicopters, and the helicopters were ferrying in a lot of the heavier supplies that they were going to pretty much set up this expedition for about 4 weeks is the time that they said they were going to spend exploring these caves and exploring the surrounding mountain valleys and whatnot. So the caves were located by the expedition, and they were assured that this was the correct caves because they found the remains of Juan Moritz's original camp from 1969 there near the caves.
Boom.
They
weren't lying. He went.
Yeah. It was like, he was there. And this is, we saw the remains of like his tents and stuff, like where he had set up, like, this is the right cave. This is the right.
Unreal.
Where we're going to go.
Don't they know the golden rule? Leave no trace.
Well, I mean, he had the legal deed. He can do whatever he wants. He has the legal deed.
That's
his. The caves are his.
That's how they knew it was nailed to a tree. They're like,
Within the cave, once they got down in there, they got the cavers to go down in there and explore, get everybody down there on the ground, because you have to abseil down into these caves. Like, that's the easiest way to get in. There's like entrances to the cave, but the ones that were talked about, Maurice and Von Daniken, like you have to actually go down into the cave, lower down by a rope pulley system of some type. Yeah, pretty, not something I would want to do. I'm never a big caver. I don't think that's something.
Like, I mean, I would do it, but the, being that first guy getting lowered down, like,
you don't want to be the
first
guy.
What the fuck's down there, man?
You don't want to be that first guy. No way.
Oh, that's why they brought Neil Armstrong. He's the first guy in the moon.
Put him. Yeah.
First thing in a cave. It's like, dude, I've been to the moon.
Boots on
man.
The ground, baby.
Yeah, fucking cakewalk, boys.
So within this cave, they were, you know, they were further validated in their knowledge that they were that this was the right cave because they found natural formations that were in line with Von Daniken's descriptions of what he saw. They judged them to be natural formations. They didn't look. They,
yeah,
there's
fucking
strange.
Rocks and bats and shit.
Yeah, and it was a lot of
monkey
stuff
in here. Same place. It's got to be place. Exactly the same.
But what really kind of set it for him is they found the lintel structure that Von Daniken had described and claimed that could only be shaped by artificial means. And if you look up the Taos Caves, it's a pretty famous, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but it's a specific formation. And it is very, like, it is very strange. Like, it's a cut,
it's
like
golden arches,
startings of like a corridor, and it's cut. It almost looks like it's been cut, like almost in 90 degree angles. And they found that, and they're like, this is what it is. I think it's called Hall something. Like, it like one of the formations or one of the caverns is named after Stanley Hall. Like, when they went down there, they actually named it after him in honor of the expedition that they set out there. So
that must have pissed Merez off.
People who aren't familiar what a lintel is. So a lintel is a support like above a door.
It's a little green bean thing.
That's what I thought.
Vegetarian seed. Right?
Lentil. Yeah, lentils. Lentils.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, a lintel is like, well, I mean, in framings, like the technical term is a lintel, but they actually call them headers too. But it's pretty much just like you have an opening and above it, you need something to support
someone did his schooling.
All right.
This guy was a carpenter. He doesn't even know what
Can't
it is.
Can you just call it wood like the rest of us?
I put the wood above the door. It held it up. It's
yeah,
all good.
The above door wood.
Above door wood. The good shit. You know the one.
But so once they explored throughout these caves, you know, got to mapping them and stuff, they couldn't find any of the mysterious objects that had been said to be made of metal or any sort of strange materials.
Really, they found the lasers, obviously.
No, they didn't find the lasers.
They didn't find the lasers?
Yeah, I don't know how much of it. Like, I know the laser thing is part of this, and then, but I think Von Daniken in his book, he says these things must have been shaped by lasers, or he was afraid of taking a picture. There's something in the book where he says,
I was told they were guarded by lasers. Like right. Total fucking entrapment style.
Well, he says in the book,
I heard Jean-Claude Van Damme was doing the full fucking Catherine Zeta-Jones where she's fucking dipping
dodging
under these
lasers.
Yeah. Laser beams.
Yeah, that guy. It looked like he got fried by a couple.
Boys, listen, if you look up hypertension in the dictionary, that face is there. That is the international sign for high blood pressure. That guy looks like he's gonna fucking blow up.
He does mention in his book having a fear in the back of his head that perhaps these riches.
A fear of type 2 diabetes? Is that what he's fucking complaining about? Because that's what he looks like. Yes.
He does mention that he had a kind of fear of perhaps that these riches and these artifacts had been would be guarded by some type of laser defense
booby
system.
Traps.
Yeah, he does say that.
I always think riches in like the food was too rich.
Right. I chalked it up to them just, he kind of
obviously
said,
Brayden, by that picture, he's not scared of rich food, but, all right?
He's not counting calories.
No.
But of those objects, the numerous and like countless riches, 2,000 pages and whatnot of these artifacts that Moritz had shown Von Daniken in these caves, the Stanley Hall expedition didn't find hide nor hair of these artifacts. They didn't find anything.
Well, it's pretty simple, Dan. It's pretty simple why they didn't find it. Exactly. So the book comes out 1969. It's
76 or like 74 and 10 something.
No, it's because isn't this the expedition in 73?
This is the 76 expedition.
Oh, 76. Okay, so it comes. So it's whatever. It comes out in 73.
Yeah.
So there's 3 years before the release of the book and by the time the expedition gets down there. So who's to say a smaller, more organized team, you know, heavily funded by some secret organization that's trying to hide the truth, gets down there, loots the cave ahead of them, takes all remnants of all the artifacts out.
Well, and let's not forget this on Zell, on your point there, Juan himself, the man with the deed, if you don't remember, he had gone there a full year before taking Von Daniken back, right? So a full year had passed between the time where he had been there and seen these things.
And he only went once, right?
Yeah, and got the deeds and brought Von Daniken back, right? So from Von Daniken going to 1976, what is that, like 7 years? Why wouldn't Juan have gone and taken these things for himself? Right? Or hired a third party to go and extract. Why does
he
got to take
it? He owns it. Yeah, he's got the deed.
That's why you would take them out.
It's all his. Well, yeah, but why would he take Von Daniken down there and to be like, oh, weird. Everything's missing.
No, it's no. This is it.
He had to.
No, this is it because we're in 76. So we have years and years of UFOs and ET theories and abductions. You know, there's all the stories of the Men in Black or some organization that seems to try and cover up this, either ancient aliens or aliens visiting now or whatever the situation is. So we have 30 years plus, you know, we have 30 years since Roswell at this time. So this organization now is very sophisticated. Many, many layers deep, let's say. The book comes out. Like, oh shit, another secret's been revealed. Let's get down there. They go down, they just get rid of it all. This fucking, and then when they spend all this money, this huge expedition supposed to, you got fucking Neil Armstrong supposed, you know, he's the poster child of this expedition. And then when they go down there.
To expose it.
Find nothing. It throws more dirt on the theory.
What about the Schwar people though?
No,
wouldn't they have reported a bunch of people?
Maybe they never really explored the caves that well.
But they would have had to go past those shore people to get there, wouldn't they?
Not well. Whatever they got neuralizers. I don't fucking know. Zap their memories and walk in.
They have magic powers.
They have something.
They got KGB spy psychics that can erase people's memories, dude.
I love the idea of bringing in Neil Armstrong just to fucking. You know, just to like, hey, this is the most credible guy we know. He's been to the fucking moon. He didn't see anything. Nothing's there.
But forget about it, man. He says he didn't see anything. Maybe he did.
Exactly.
Maybe this is like an Admiral Byrd situation where, you know, right, where they come back and they're like, yeah, there was nothing there. And they're like, why'd you suffer losses?
What about everybody else?
Right? What about everyone else?
How many people were involved? Why would everybody else cover it up other than
maybe there's not. Maybe there's other people saying it, but they're nobodies, right? They're nobodies. And you got Neil Armstrong being like, nothing. And if that team was
that Hall guy also said there was nothing there.
Yes, but if their plants to get this, like they went there, they were the team that went and extracted stuff and they go, nothing was there. These guys are liars. There was nothing. And they're like, it was all there. What do you mean? They're like, nope, sorry. Couldn't find nothing. Not a thing. Not a shred of evidence. Nothing. Nada. Zip. Right?
So everybody was in on it.
Because it embarrasses Juan and Von Daniken, right? They're not taken seriously. Right, and
who tells me Von Daniken's got thick skin?
No, that's
what tells you that?
His blood is at the surface. Yeah, there's not a lot there. No, I'm saying that they didn't have to be in on it. Like they're not covering up. They went there and there was something. I'm saying they went there.
They took it.
It was not there when they got there. It was already
that
been
seems
removed.
More likely.
It's already been removed. So they got there. They're like, oh, there's nothing here. Like this is.
Seems like such a fucking. Big operation that would have to happen with no one being like witnessing it though, right?
Why would it have to be a big operation though?
Because those tables and those chairs are made of some type of material that was heavy than steel.
They went in
and they took helicopters to get there.
They went in with some high directed energy weapons and they melted all the stuff down and they slurped it out with the giant fucking.
But why would you melt it down? Because then it just becomes its primary. Like
then there's no evidence at all. It's gone.
If it was easy peasy, like guys would be wearing block leotards and a fucking tube.
They dumped it in the river.
Dipping in there.
Hold on Zell's point. Maybe this is, maybe the metal in this place is some of that like metal not found on Earth. So maybe when they go in there and like applied with some sort of frequency or something, the metal becomes a different shape, becomes a liquid, whatever. Like it's pliable.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? And then they slurp it up with the HVAC truck.
But then how do you get it back? Okay, now okay. Explain to us how they get it back into its original form with all the printed text that I had on there.
Well, they didn't melt it all down, Dan. They took some of the tablets out.
Maybe just
need special space glasses. Why would you even take this stuff out if you're just going to melt it down?
They had to melt the really heavy stuff. They couldn't move it. The tablets they could take out because they're just fucking their tablets.
So somehow I got it up to like, you know.
Okay, hold on. let's think about this though. How, like, they do have, if this is what we're going to believe, is that a team went in before this expedition, right?
I'm on board.
I mean, they had a big window of time to get it done, right?
In years.
Like, I get we're saying that, yeah, there's some obstacles, some big obstacles, but they had years. They had years to figure this stuff out.
You still have to go to the Schwar people. So why don't
not if you fly in?
Why?
Not if you just
why
fly
would you
in?
Have to go to the Schwar people?
Yeah, but the Schwar people would be like, hey, that's weird. We saw a helicopter.
Even if these caves are in dense jungle. Like, even if you were to fly people in and you were going to fast rope them down into the jungle.
They had LIDAR.
Like, you would still have to know where
they had LIDAR back then.
Merez would have to be in on it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I could buy. But that being said, like,
why would
you not think?
I don't even think he'd know where it was from the air, though. Like, how would you even get in there from the air, like lifting this stuff out? But like, you still have to schlep the stuff out. Like, you'd still need more.
And the Schwar people would remember seeing something like that. And they would, like, what do they have to gain? Do they all got paid? The next time, by the time Hall and fucking Neil Armstrong went, they all got fucking big screen TVs.
Fucking Mercedes. Yeah.
They got fucking gold chains and shit. Be like, I don't know what happened. But it's nothing. It's all good.
It's not like the media is going to the Schwar people and be like, hey, what happened?
No, but Hall and Neil Armstrong went through there.
Yeah, and what they said, he said, I'm the fucking moon guy. Get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to the caves. Yeah.
Moon guy.
What the fuck's the moon?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? We don't know.
We don't call it the moon. We call it something different.
Moon is.
Yeah. Well, they don't even speak English, Dan.
I mean, they probably speak Spanish, so they know.
They probably have people there that speak Spanish, I'd imagine.
If you never heard the translation,
they get all the way there, and they're like,
"They're not
like
an uncontacted tribe. Like, they do have people who live there."
No, so they're not wearing loincloths with.
Were you there, Dan?
No.
Were you there?
Yeah, I fucking saw. I watched the documentary from 1976,
buddy. Father Crispy brought them the word of God and all that. They were speaking English. Right?
No, Spanish. He
Father
was,
Spanish.
Or maybe Italian.
No. Yeah, but Father Crispy was a white dude.
Was he? He's a red dude.
No, that's not.
That's not Father Crispy.
I'm talking about Father Crispy.
Danikin's
boys.
Not Father Crispy.
Oh, sorry. No.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we'll leave the hypothetical for now.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking about right now?
So,
brains talk about melting space metal. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on there.
HVAC it out of there on a porta potty truck.
What if you need special space glasses to see them? And they were there the whole time. Mm-hmm.
In response to getting pretty much ruthlessly dragged through a number of widely read periodicals, von Daniken and Moritz both made responses, public responses, saying that the expedition led by Stanley Hall must have gone to the wrong caves.
They said that
they went to the wrong caves. It wasn't the correct one. That's why they didn't find anything. So, you know, subsequent expeditions to the Taos Caves have been mounted. There are other smaller expeditions to explore these caves and try to uncover the secret of the metal library because it has persisted to this day. And even as, you know, 2018, Expedition Unknown, the TV show with Josh Gates, returned to the cave with Stanley Hall's actual, his daughter or granddaughter, I'm not sure.
It's daughter.
Like his daughter. Eileen Hall. And they, you know, whole things documented. They found that lintel-like formation and they actually mapped out like additional, more of the cave than had previously been explored. They found like a cool, like a huge, like a giant chimney structure that they found.
Man-made.
Natural formation. But he had to go underwater to get to it. It was pretty neat. But they explored into there and they actually added on to the maps of those caves, but they found that lintel-like formation that everyone kind of talked about
That was the telling feature, but they couldn't find anything else.
Here's a stupid question though. Is there a chance that lintel formation there, is there a chance that there could have been caused from like running water?
The
like smoothed out by water that was flowing down there at some point?
If you take,
The explanation that they give within on Expedition Unknown, like talking about it, like it's a geological formation that it is like it's formed by layers of sediment that actually just come off. Like, so you have like different layers of sediment laying on top of each other.
It's sandstone.
So sometimes these parts will break off in pretty regular formations and okay. making it look artificial, but it's actually just a natural formation.
Well, all these caves are built in like sandstone, which is very easily eroded.
Malleable.
It's very easily eroded.
Okay.
Right. But
and they had like there was a bunch of cool like stalactite stalagmite formations in the cave itself, like just like, you know, thousands of years of water, calcium, whatever falling down, just like you had these huge structures that are pretty neat. Like it says, caves are cool. I don't want to go into a cave. I don't really enjoy caves. I'm like, it is pretty neat to see.
I liked
this video. Is the bad cave.
I like going into the cave and then finding the smallest like pathway you can get and then wedging my body in and squirming through, having to pull my body through the cave.
No thanks.
And then not knowing what's on the other side.
And then getting stuck and dying.
It's one way to go. You got to go. You know, everyone's got to go somehow.
It's got to be one of those ways to die. Slowly.
And it's even more intense when you do it while the cave is submerged in water, which is what me and Braden did in Mexico one time. It was a really bad idea.
Yeah, looking back, I'm like, we're lucky we didn't die.
Hey, do you think that cave pops up somewhere? I don't know. We should dive under and find out.
Just shredded by barnacles.
Shredded. Pull me back.
We mentioned before the name Father Carlos Crespi, who is actually, you know, to go into a little bit about him, he was a Salesian monk who was born in Italy in 1891, and he had studied anthropology at the University of Milan before becoming part of the actual clergy. So as a Catholic priest, he was assigned to the city of Cuenca, Ecuador. And so for 59 years there, he participated in a number of humanitarian projects among the Ecuadorian city, as well as the native tribes surrounding the area, which included the native Shuar people. Now, he established things like an orphanage, educational facilities, all of that kind of things. And he was seemingly well-liked by the people of Cuenca. And so his relationship with the people in Cuenca resulted in a number of residents bringing him items and supposed artifacts from the jungles. Like they knew that he had an interest in these kinds of things, you know, talking to him about the history of the area, folklore, these things. He's educated in the area of anthropology, and he would pay small handouts for the gift of the items. You know, often generous with the objects that he would accept. So he amounted this large collection of figurines and pottery and carvings somewhere around. They said like when it all totaled, it was something like 50,000 pieces.
Jesus.
That were in his collection.
Now, 25,000 pickle babies.
Probably half of those were probably pickle babies.
There was a lot of shrunken heads.
Those things were actually shrunken heads.
He had elongated skulls. He had like a lot of skulls.
But some of the more interesting items were reported to be metal plates with curious designs carved or stamped onto them. And their description bore a resemblance to the thin metal leaves that Moritz said he had discovered in the Taos caves. So Father Crespi he became associated with the Taos caves, and these metal plates were suspected to be plates that had been brought out
from
the caves. They had been given to him.
That's what he says. He's found the caves. He stole the plates. It's all him.
Well, he didn't steal them. Somebody else did, maybe, and gave them to him.
Well, how do we know he did? He befriended the Shur people. They told him all about the fucking caves.
He had the access.
Like, well, boys.
He had the clout. He had the access. He could have got in there.
I mean, absolutely.
There is this whole kind of mystery where at one point, like the church that he had worked on, had caught on fire at some point. And it was kind of said that his collection had gone missing. There was like a point in time, I guess, where they said
caught on fire, the orphanage that he like was named after him, and a school. Like it was all targeted things that like all were directly linked to him.
Cause he held all the stuff.
He didn't pay. For the when he put together his ragtag Ocean's 60 team, he didn't pay any of the guys.
They torched him.
I mean, they have there is a section in the 1976 original documentary where they go and visit with Crespi and they talk with him, and there's footage of them, Stanley Hall talking to him and having a translator, go back and forth and asking him about, and he shows him the metal plates. He asks him to see the metal plates. He shows him these metal plates, and they are these large, thin sheets of some type of metal with designs, and that are different designs, shapes, like figures of humans, animals, kind of.
So very like similar to what Daniken described, at least.
And those are the ones that were filmed in the 70s, right?
Right.
Because those, from what I understand, there was gold carvings, hieroglyphs, and some Sumerian figurines.
So yeah, there are photos of figurines that look like the traditional, like the guardian bulls or whatever they call them, that you find on certain structures in Babylon and like Samaria, like ancient Samaria. You see these figures of the human headed bulls and stuff, and having those objects along with probably, I think one of the most interesting ones was he had this one sheet of metal, some type of metal, whether it was gold or whatever. I don't think it was ever 100% confirmed, but he does have pictures of him holding it and pictures of it being taken. It contained a bunch of tiny little squares, and in each square was stamped a different character. And I think Von Daniken, in his book, he goes on to kind of suspect that this was probably some type of alphabet. And like the Inca people, like within the Andes and stuff, had never, he kind of says that the Inca people never had an alphabetical, at the time he wrote the book, like they were never known to have an alphabetical language. They didn't have to use mostly characters and stuff like this, pictograms and things like that. Probably similar to the Aztecs. And so he said that, this is something that is probably from an ancient civilization, that this is perhaps an alphabetical language from some ancient undiscovered civilization. Now, that specific piece, I don't think has ever been recovered. That specific piece has gone missing. The rest of the collection was actually recovered and does sit within the central bank of Central Ecuadorian Bank's private collection.
Even the little statues of the Sumerian stuff?
Now, the Sumerian stuff that stuff is also
not it's there. Not. It's missing.
It's missing.
That stuff
when they did the what's that fucking thing? I got it in my notes. Ancient Origins, when they went there and filmed that, along with the gold plates and the hieroglyphs, were missing.
Yeah.
So those
they never got that stuff on film.
No.
But they did see pictures of it in the 70s, but when the Ancient Origins went there, they didn't see any of it.
It was photographed earlier. So for whatever means that he had that in his collection, like these artifacts from like that region of the world, seemingly out of place for the time. So the theories are connected, like, okay, so people found this in the area. They said maybe in the caves and brought it to him.
Zell, maybe in the caves? Absolutely in the caves.
Deep.
Deep in the cave.
I think Crespi was a proponent of that. Later in his life, he did become like a proponent of a theory of being like ancient Mesopotamians had visited South America at some point.
I'm pretty sure he said Hannibal himself.
Yes,
had visited.
Yeah. While he was waging war on the Romans, I guess at some point in his
life. Long way to go on an elephant.
So those specific pieces were never found, but the rest of the collection is now held.
You know why they weren't found?
Why is that?
Do you want to know why they weren't found?
I want to, yes.
Uh-huh. I think I got it figured out. All right. To be honest with you.
Cool. Uh-huh.
Okay. So we know Crespi was a man of God. He befriended the Shur people. The Shur people had access to these caves. They knew about the caves. Mm-hmm. They loved him. This man has a fucking statue built. And I forget the name of the city, Dan, the starts with a C, the name of the city that he lived in.
Crispyville.
Crispyville. Yeah. Basically Crispyville. All right.
They loved him.
They loved him. They've been petitioning to have him a fucking saint, all that type of shit. This guy's the fucking man. All right. He befriends these people. All right. He's an anthropologist. He loves history. These people start bringing him these artifacts and they see how excited he gets from it. And they're like, you know what? We know where to get more of these. We're going to get more. We're going to bring more. And by the time this guy's got his whole museum set up and he's got all these beautiful artifacts that he loves, there's film taken of them. We have evidence of it in the 70s, supposedly, right? So we knew he has it, okay? All of a sudden, he has to sell his collection to the central bank. Now, technically, he's a man of God. He's a father. He doesn't own this museum. Who owns it?
God.
The church.
Mm.
The church owns this. So the church takes all the shit that is, you know what? All this stuff's irrelevant. This is cheap. You want to know where all the fucking gold tablets and the hieroglyphs and all that shit is? Vatican. It's in the fucking Vatican archives.
That's
I'm telling you, boys, for sure.
See, and I like that theory of like, so after Juan, claims the deed, like obviously the swarm of people are seeing.
Shawarma.
Right. Obviously,
I tried making that joke earlier and it did not land. I don't know why it's funnier when you said it, but it's good.
When the shawarma people like they see him going in there and they're like, "Hey, what's all this? What's this guy? Like, maybe we should check some more of it out." So, like, maybe they just started funneling this stuff out, like you said, right? Like, if, over the course of, like, when he comes back with Von Daniken and then leaves, and there's, like, that big window, they're just funneling stuff out,
maybe,
right?
Maybe Crispy isn't as good of a guy as we thought he was. And basically, he's like, hey, he taught them the word of God. And he's like, hey, you want to be saved by God? Bring me these fucking plates. That's your way to fucking God.
Right, salvation. Or he got one, and he sent it to the Vatican. They're like, get them all. Get them all now, right? So maybe it's one of those situations where it's like, you know what, like who has enough power to kind of orchestrate something like this before this team's organized? The Vatican. They got tons of pull. So maybe I like that theory. I like that theory, Andrew.
It's not theory, boys. It's fact.
Yeah.
Science fact. All right.
Science fact. You heard it here.
Yeah.
I like it though. That's a good theory.
It's over.
So now the plates were actually still there, or at least what were assumed to be the plates that were described
thrown on the fucking ground.
Yeah,
first of all, the central bank has his collection. All his stuff is like nicely.
It's all cataloged
in a nice like warehouse style with racks and shelves and everything. So they investigate all the shelves and they're like, what about the plates? And they're like, oh, the plates. Oh, yeah, we got another storage room for the plates.
Yeah.
And the guy, like, he opens the door and there's one in the way and he just kicks it out of the way. Yeah, they're over here. Fucking shit. But honestly, the way they're just, like, obviously, like, I'm not exaggerating. They're strewn out around the room. They're all on the ground and stuff. It's literally like they took what they wanted from it and threw the rest on the fucking ground.
This is true.
Like, God fucking pooched
it.
Well,
those were judged to be fakes or inauthentic. Like, these sheets of metal were just like modern day metal, either aluminum or tin or something. Like,
this is a fucking California license plate. What the fuck is this doing?
You pull them up and you look at them, you're like, I would be like any third grader.
It looks like some of them look like you took a piece of metal on a table with a rock and then hammered a design into it, flipped it over and went, here you go.
Yeah, someone spent time making these, but I don't think they were, they'd been around.
I wouldn't say they're the work of an artist.
No. Least in Expedition Unknown, they do a spectrometer.
Not the ones they found are works of an artist, at least.
No.
What about this, though? What about this? Let's say, like, on that same token that the shawarma people were bringing these things down to them.
Sure.
Shawarma.
Maybe they were.
They're the shawarma people from now on.
Yeah, maybe they were. No. I don't think they'll mind. They were banging, right? They were like, oh, he likes these, and they're like, you know, maybe they're getting a couple bucks tossed their way. So they start making forgeries, and he's just like, yeah, sure, here, hey, all right, give me a good one them.
Like I said, he was very generous in the things that he had accepted into his collection, and it was remarked on that he. Some of the relationships that he had with the people of the city and the surrounding areas, like he knew that they, you know, they had their pride and he never wanted people to feel like people who knew him personally, you know, talk about him not wanting people to feel like they would just give them money. He knew they wouldn't accept like handouts from the church, like charity. They wouldn't accept charity, but they would accept
payment. But he'll take those fucking discs. So that we got to make some knockoff ones, right? And they come and he doesn't have the heart to be like, I know this one's not real, but it's fine.
Or it was some kid being like, I know that we need some money to buy food for next week. So maybe I can hammer out this piece of tin that I found and you know, get money. Yeah. For
and it'll be like the discs he likes.
Yeah. I mean, so some of that could have been thrown in there and it's just like, yeah, whether they were actual some of that stuff, and it just got mixed up in there, and he's just helping people out. It's still up for debate about what it is, because some of the pieces, like we said, that at least that most impressive piece is still missing about what it was. And some of those artifacts were made of precious metals. They said that some of them were made of gold or silver or things like that. So if some of that went missing, nobody knows where it's at. It could be sitting in some dude's private collection somewhere.
That belongs in a museum.
The same people who, you know, went and robbed the cave of all the stuff, burned down Crispy's church and everything, all his belongings, try to eliminate the evidence. So what didn't burn was these alien artifacts that he possessed in the back room. They picked those up upon inspecting the burned building, ran away, and that's where they are. That's where the Sumerian artifacts, the ET artifacts, someone stole them all. That's what happened.
It's fucking Catholic Church.
Vatican.
The fingerprints all over it.
How many miles of fucking shelves are in the Vatican archives? Like 500 miles of shelves or some crazy?
Vatican archives.
That's where we got to go. That's where the secrets lie.
Let's storm the Vatican, boys.
Fuck Area 51. Storm the Vatican.
We want the truth.
I think they tried to do that last time after Storm 51.
Storm the Vatican?
I think that was one of the things.
They probably all got shot.
You got to mess with those Swiss guards, man. They got fucking halberds. I don't want to mess with that.
Swiss guards?
Yeah, the Swiss guards.
Yeah, the fucking wavy knife.
Yeah. Are they called? They're called the Swiss guards. They have some sort of name that is specific.
Oh, I thought you meant isn't the Vatican's in...
Yeah, it's Crimson Guards. They're all in red. They got lightsabers.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to fuck with lightsabers either. No, it's not like they're force pikes. They have force pikes.
Oh, force pikes, right. Yeah. Not worthy of a lightsaber.
Force pikes are pretty good too.
they can fight lightsabers with them, right?
Yes.
Can they deflect blaster bolts?
And I don't know.
Come back to that one. Yeah, so that's what I think. I think that maybe Crispy did have a lot of these artifacts that maybe were from the cave, and the same people who initially stole most of the stuff from the cave maybe burned down all the shit, took the rest of it. Off they go. Left the shitty plates, the forgeries. Took the recipe for dark matter and interstellar travel from those other metal plates with them.
I think we solved
it. I think that might be it.
I think that's it. Case closed. Consider that a win for the boys.
Chalk it up. Put it on the board.
The caves themselves, if you just look up the caves, like the formations, they're really cool caves.
Yeah. Top-notch caves.
Top-notch. Not the biggest cave network, but really cool caves nonetheless. Yeah.
Real popular, the Splunkers.
Yeah. I'd Splunk in there any day.
We'll Splunk around in there. Dan's coming. We'll send him down first.
And I will hang out outside.
Andrew, would you go Splunking?
Probably. I feel like you guys would probably pressure me into it. I'd be like, I could do this, no problem. And I'd be in there and be like, this fucking sucks ass.
Yeah. Complaining the whole way.
Yeah, I'd be like, I hate this. It's hot and shitty.
It's just feet of just, you know, 3 feet of bat guano that you're stepping through chock full of bugs.
No, I don't think it would bother me that much. I'd probably do it.
You got those whip scorpions and stuff in there too. Like, bugs. You got those things crawling around in there.
Anyways,
he changes his mind.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, pretty soon you're going to be Spider-Man. So the arachnids will not bother you.
Here's the thing. I feel like people like me and Dan would excel in the cave environment.
Yes.
Right. You guys would be ducking. Your backs would hurt. Me and Dan would be fucking clipping around full speed.
Listen, the first thin spot, I'm stuck. I'll be like, okay, well, let me know how it is, guys. Yeah. I'll wait for you here.
But that is the mystery of the metal library and whether it is still there or it was trapped in some type of, you know, temporal, dimensional thing and just winked out of existence. It was teleported back to its home planet.
That's a good theory too.
No,
it was there. They weren't lying about it. Because why would they lie? Yeah. Why would they lie in their book?
They disturbed the temporal bubble that it was held within for preservation. And once it popped,
We do know why they would lie, because fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme admits to why he lied. He does it in the Playboy. God damn it! Interview.
I hope someday you get to call him that to his face before he
did
dies
though.
At some point. No, yeah, I'm saying I hope you get to call him Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme, nice to meet you. Like,
that's who it is. Isn't that his fucking
pretty
name?
Pretty much. No. Close enough.
But no, he did. He did admit to exaggerating his claims in his book.
In this
in
book?
A Playboy interview.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so there was a 1978 interview in Playboy magazine where he was pretty. He was
Daniken wasn't in Playboy, was he? Oh my god!
No, this was back when that was. This was back when you could say that I. Well, this is back in the day that you could read Playboy and be like, I read it for the articles, because Playboy used to have pretty good articles.
I actually went back to try and read this one because I got an old school catalog, but the fucking pages are stuck together. So I couldn't get the interview. But.
Yeah, he did have a pretty... the interview kind of raked him over the coals. Like, they really got into him.
And, it's a classy magazine. It can't have scumbags like Jean-Claude Van Danigan in it.
And asked him about this and told him that Moritz denies ever taking Von Daniken to the caves. Like, it is alleged that they had some type of falling out, that Von Daniken published his book and he was making money and Moritz didn't really get the credit that he was owed, or he felt like he got slighted in the deal, and that they had this type of falling out. And then Von Daniken accused Moritz, or said that Moritz was denying these, you know, that they had ever went there, because the Ecuadorian government was going to have him assassinated if he let out the information that these things actually existed.
They actually did poison him, but he never died. He just looks the way he does now. It looks like he's always just continuously dying.
And in the interview, he is asked specifically about the Taos Caves and about his experience there. And when they kind of grill it and they kind of dig into it and talking about it, he did say that he exaggerated a bit, and he said that it is in doing so, he was kind of doing it in the tradition of what most authors do. When you're not doing pure science, you can add some type of dramatic effect.
There's a cool German word for it.
Dramatische.
Scheiße.
Scheißenkopf der Spiegel.
It's like dramatische Effekte is what he said. And you can... You know, he says that he exaggerated a lot of it, and he may or may not have made it up. Like, that's kind of like,
I think one thing that a lot of people forget about Von Daniken is that he is a convicted criminal.
This is true.
What was he convicted of?
Fraud.
Yeah. I think fraud. Yeah. He spent time in the slammer.
Yes. Right. For a little bit. And then I think his dad, like, bailed him out pretty much. Like, his family got him out and then secured him a couple positions here and there about whatever.
You know, like Dan was saying, like he kind of fell off the map for a while.
Yeah. Von Daniken has had a long and storied career. He is, you know,
of fraud.
Yes, of that. And
he got busted for impersonating the Human Torch.
The worst. Flame on.
Oh man.
Are you sure?
Hey, we're just doing this because he was disclaimer, he was a fucking asshole to Dan and Zell.
Nah, I mean,
he was.
He was a fucking dick to you guys. So fuck him. Red bitch.
A little bit of a.
You know what? Like, and now that he's done with aliens, it's going to be nice to see him as Red Hulk in the Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Here's his history of crime. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had a criminal record. He was convicted of theft at 19. Mm-hmm. He left school after that. So he took a short stint in jail. Then he took a. Became a hotelier,
right?
A hotelier, I guess.
A hotelier.
Yeah, okay. Then convicted of embezzlement.
All right.
Took another hotel position, stole money there too, falsifying records in order to obtain tens of thousands in fraudulent loans to finance his interest in space aliens.
Yeah.
Convicted of embezzlement and fraud yet again, serving a year in prison.
Yeah.
What age?
At this, it does.
He's pretty young. He's still in his 20s in that.
Yeah. So at this, he's like 24 at this time. He's spending a year.
It's honestly,
his frontal lobe isn't complete.
It's honestly,
no, like, we'll give him a break.
It's a little mind boggling to me that he's as revered in our space as he is. Because just quick round table here, how many of you guys convicted of a criminal offense? Anyone here? Zell?
No, nothing.
Andrew? Dan?
Nope.
Have I committed criminal activity that would legally...
No. Hey, whoa. We're talking found guilty in the court of law, my friend.
No, definitely not.
Right? No. But what I'm saying is, like, when you have someone that's serial, like, I would give someone one. Like, you know what? Like, you're 19, you get caught stealing. You got a theft under. Sure, you've changed around. You're like, that was embarrassing. I don't know why I did that. You know, me and Zell could have been busted a whole bunch of times at Zellers stealing hockey pads when we were kids, right?
Those fucking hockey pads are expensive, man.
Yeah, we're not bad people.
Time out, boys. The lowest price is law. You never get a better deal than you will at Zellers.
Well, come on. We did.
Free. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, free 99.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, like, you know, like, when you have a pattern of this criminal behavior and, like, God, it's like, you're like, I hate to say it, Von Daniken, you're a piece of shit. Right? I hate to say it. You're a piece of shit. And then you just scream at my friends when they're trying to do a panel to read the Bible. That's what, go fuck yourself, Von Daniken. Hey.
No, he's a red bitch.
Yeah, it's been said. It's been said. He's pretty much, I think he has a permanent chip on his shoulder is kind of what his deal is. It's because,
he's a red bitch.
Well, the whole ancient alien theory, like, that dropped off. Like in the 80s, like 80s, 90s, that whole thing kind of dipped
off.
And
so did he, because there was no more fucking money to embezzle.
He dropped off the radar for a long time until Ancient Aliens popped out. And then it's like, boom, like, hey, you remember the ashes.
Remember what I wrote?
Coming back. And then, you know, and this is his whole, like, his whole thing now, career is I told you so. That's his whole thing. Like, now that Ancient Aliens is wildly popular and the ancient astronaut theory is out there, his whole stick now, kind of is, and that's his priority.
Is being a skin suit that screams, "Read the Bible."
This is a direct.
He has been accused of being a biblical literalist. Yes.
A direct, like an actual recording of what happened when me and Dan interviewed him.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Eric, if someone new to the field of, like, ancient astronaut theory was, like, just approach you, like, just with one question, like, what's the best evidence? Like, where would I start? Like, what's the one thing that you could point me to that I'd be like, oh, cool, like, yeah, I'm going to look into that. And Eric Von Daniken said what, Dan?
You can read the Bible. Look at the Bible. The people would not make this stuff up. It would not. They would be in the Bible. They would not write it down. They don't have the imagination to come up with these types of concepts. This is in the Bible that they say that the angels came down and that they are on this and they were aliens.
That's pretty much
what he said.
Is he African?
No, he's like Belgian, I think, or something.
Belgian or Swiss or
something
like that.
That's pretty good.
But that's how he talks.
Sounds like you're about to say Wakanda forever.
I asked him a very simple question, like Zell said. Simple. I said,
he's a fucking great
I just
simple.
Wanted to know, what piece of evidence would you point to that would be the biggest, that supports your theory about ancient astronauts and, like, them coming down here? And then he pretty much told us to go read the Bible. Just, and
he said,
like,
everything, okay. Go read the Bible.
Yeah, pretty much. He said a lot of stuff and then he's like, go read the Bible. I was like, okay.
Cool.
Cool, dude.
I'm not going to read the Bible again. I read it when I was a kid.
I'm not
going to
read it again. I've done it.
I've been there.
Been there, done that.
But, you know, we talk about this show, like, honestly, I put him in a category with bullshit artists such as Rick Dyer. Like, really.
Well, like, at least he wrote a book.
He wrote a book, right?
How many books did he write?
He's written quite a number. You could have an Eric Von Daniken library, but all of them are pretty, if you get down to it, a lot of them are just rehashes of the same stuff, like, over and over and over again.
Yeah. Like, it's, he, when you look at this, perhaps there was something in the case. Perhaps he heard an account and wrote it and whatever. Maybe it's wrong caves, but I will say this, whether the metal library is real or not, and I'm going to say, like, with the discovery of Göbekli Tepe and all this, I'm not going to count out that these kind of things or something like this could be existing on Earth. I 100% believe that it could. One thing that I do not believe wholeheartedly is that Eric Von Daniken went into those fucking caves at all. I don't believe that for a fucking second.
There's a lot of people who would agree with you, I think, on that one. But maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
He did?
But
why didn't he take a picture, my friend, of the fucking caves?
Because of the lasers, Braden. The fucking lasers.
There are no pictures of him actually going, like, even outside the cave, he didn't take any pictures.
No, so there's,
like, he didn't really take any pictures.
Yeah, he could.
And the pictures he does put in his book, there's one really great picture that he says that it's a stone tablet with like a depiction of some type of like lizard, some type
of. It's got like a. No. Got a Getty Images fucking there's banner across the middle of it. There's some type of
reptilian creature, and he's like, "This is a dinosaur. Like, this is a, it looks like, and it looks like something that a kid did in school. Like, it's a really like, it looks like something that a kid would draw."
Anyways, like, we don't mean to roast Eric Van Daniken. We just we actually talked to him, and we're just giving our honest response.
He's fucking mean.
He's mean.
He's old, at this point he's a really old man and there's
the cranky pants a little cranky.
And
you know, maybe it was the different time zone and they just woke him up early and,
honestly, I don't think Giorgio Tsoukalos should have ever resurrected him.
Yeah.
I mean, the only book I listened to the audiobook was Chariot of the Gods when I was just starting up the podcast and I was getting really interested in like aliens and stuff. If you want to read it, it's actually a fun book. It is fun to read, like the theories and like it is super fun. 100%. Obviously there's more to his story than just the book, so also something to be aware of as you delve down the path of the ancient astronaut theory. But it is fun, no doubt about it. That's pretty much it for this one. Go look him up.
Taos Caves. Yeah,
Taos
you can
caves.
Type it up. You can search it up.
And the Metal Library.
The Metal Library. Super cool. So if we got something wrong and you're like, I've been actually in there and I've seen some crazy shit.
I own some of these metal plates.
I am the deed holder of these caves.
I drew the dinosaurs on the map.
I am Eric Von Daniken. And go fuck yourself.
Fuck you, Adrian. Theorizer.
Make sure to let us know anywhere. Anyway, you find us.
I have many leather-bound books and shells made of rich mahogany.
Anyways, who do we got this week for Theorite of the Week?
Theorite of the Week. We love when, again, I'll say this, our fans, funnier, more talented than we'll ever be.
By a lot.
Instagram story popped up of Bryn Steves of Oil and Birch Studios. You can go to oilandbirch.com. She was listening to our show, which inspired her to handcraft this one-of-a-kind Keep Those Eyes on the Skies mug.
Dope.
Don't drop that, you sweaty bastard.
I'm very careful. As soon as I saw it, I had to have it. So I made a little deal with her. But Bryn Steves, thanks for listening to the show and getting inspired by it. And inspired by the possibility, wading through the BS and making a dope ass mug. So you are the Theorite of the Week. And go check out Oil and Birch on Instagram. Oil and Birch.
Oil and Birch. All right. And if you're not supporting the show and you want ad-free early access.
Wait, hold on. Stop the music. Stop the goddamn music. Yeah. I forgot one thing. Before we get into this, it's August. I forgot it's August now if you're listening to this. We got a ton of new merch on the merch store. If you wanted Pickle Baby, you wanted that kind of stuff, that's all gone. But what we do got, we got a one-of-a-kind Bepsi shirt. Number one good price. We got to Keep Those Eyes on the Sky shirt. We got a couple new hats that you're going to love.
Dope hats.
And if you're a Patreon subscriber, we now have one item every month that's going to be Patreon exclusive that you get at cost. No profit to us for being a Patreon supporter because we thank you. And you're going to love this month's variant. It's a variant on the Keep the Eyes on the Sky shirt, except it says, go away with you, Anne. And on the back, it says, never too big boy for those China lanterns. It's hilarious. And that's available on patreon.com/alientheorists podcast. Alien Theorists. And the links will be live August 1st.
Can I push the button?
Yeah. Boom. Push the button.
If you're not supporting the show, you want early access, ad-free, you want to support your boys, support your favorite show, you know where to go by now. AlienTheorist.com. Click the support link. Takes you to Patreon, the Supercast. I think I mentioned on the last episode, 660 episodes. Of something are on there. There's a whole bunch of crazy shit on there. So if you're looking, you've exhausted the content, you've gone through twice, there's a lot more. You're missing out for. And some people are like, I don't want to support because, you know, I don't like subscription. You don't have to support for a lifetime. You can cancel any time.
Yeah.
A month at a time, 2 months, totally up to you. This month's newest supporters, we got Alan from Manny, Varen Viondu. That's a cool fucking name. Jules Galloa, Rana Jones, Ty H, and Mythic. Probably a remote viewer. Just thinking more.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.
Peace.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant, Sweet Tango Apples, guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.